Okay, Rick, so when did you first start as Bedford Town Manager, and what was kind of your background previous to coming to Bedford?
Well, actually, my first day on the job was July 18th, 1988, and I came to Bedford having served as the Assistant City Manager of Gaithersburg, Maryland, which is a city about 20 miles northwest of Washington, D.C.
Are you from that area?
No, I grew up in New Jersey. And I had gone to graduate school in Washington to American University for my master's in public administration. And part of getting your master's degree was also doing an internship in local government or whatever level of government it was that the students were interested in. So in my case, it was local government, and I was able to secure an internship in the city of Gaithersburg, Maryland. And eventually, through that internship, I got my job working for them.
When you were a student, was town government something that you knew you wanted to be your career?
By the time I got to graduate school, it was. I think I really formulated my decision-making on that or my interest in it in the latter half of my college career. I was initially a math major in college, and I liked math in high school, and I did well on math in the SATs, but I didn't adjust to the higher level of math, you know, calculus and that kind of stuff. So I ended up changing majors, and I went with political science because I always had an interest in government and public service. And so as I was getting my bachelor's degree in political science, I started to think about, well, what are the typical careers that people do in, you know, with a political science major? Some people become lawyers. Some people, you know, go into elected office. I also was fortunate when I was young to be living in New Jersey in the same neighborhood where the town manager of my hometown lived and raised his family. And I became best friends with his son. And so I would be over at their house quite often, particularly in high school years. And I'd learn a little bit about what, you know, his name is Robert Harp. And I learned a lot about what Mr. Harp did. And, you know, that put the seeds in my mind of thinking about doing something like what this profession is.
What was your initial impressions of Bedford, particularly because you were coming from Maryland and you weren't? It wasn't like you were the town manager or working in a nearby town. So what was your initial impressions of the town?
Well, it's a lot to do with what today still makes it a great place. I think in this part of the country here in New England, there's strong community identities. Every town has its boundaries and its little, you know, center area, more or less. And I think there's a greater sense of community here, than in part because the city or town in this case has existed for so many years. In Maryland, the growth of the Washington, D.C. area was much later than the growth in this area here in Massachusetts. And
like the metropolitan area around it.
Yes. The city of Gaithersburg, too, when I first started working there as an intern, had a population of 24,000 people. When I left, it was about 42,000 people, I think. And then today, it's 65,000 people. So, you know, and that kind of growth continues in the Maryland-Baltimore corridor, basically. And so there's, and you know, at one time that whole area was farmland, and there weren't as many trees there. The road network is much more extensive. The roads are wider, so there's a lot more traffic these days there than here. So what made
traffic than here?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So what made it attractive to me, Bedford made it, what was attractive about Bedford was just the community feel, the you know, in New England, ambiance, trees, you know. The other thing that I think is great about towns like Bedford is the school system is related to the town itself. In Maryland, where I worked for a city of Gaithersburg, there was no city school system. It's a county school system.
And that's pretty common in other parts of the country, more so than around here.
Yes, exactly. And so when you're living in a place like that and you have a family and your kids are growing up, you're not always sure where your kids are going to go to school because the larger county systems tend to adjust the boundaries of the school districts based on you know, how many kids are living in that area at a given time. And they, you know, so kids can be bussed around and moved around further distances. I thought, you know, the opportunity to be in a community like this where your kids went through school together with the same kids that they first started school with was, you know, a great asset and quality of living in a community like this.
When you first got the job, how long did you think you'd stay? Did you think it would turn into 30 years?
No, I didn't think it would turn into 30 years, although I will say that the hometown manager, Mr. Harp, that I've talked about, did end up working in Livingston, New Jersey, where I grew up for 27 years, and then the city manager in Maryland that I worked for, Sanford Daily, he worked there for a total of 27 years, interestingly also. So I had a couple...
So you beat them.
Well, I had a couple mentors who I very much respected and looked up to, and I knew that they had been successful and they were able to, you know, have long careers in the communities they work for. One sometimes negative aspect of this profession can be if, you know, the average tenure of a town manager or city manager is roughly 6 or 7 years in one community. And for every manager that is there 20 or more years, there's another manager that might only be there a couple years. You know, when it all averages out. So it's not unusual for someone to, you know, go into a community and realize it's not a right fit and that they want to move on, or they, for other reasons, they get a better opportunity, a larger city, better compensation, they might leave. So I said to myself when I came here, you know, I want to at least be able to make it for 2 years. I knew my predecessors, the three that had preceded me in the role of town administrator, had been here, I think, 5, 4, and 3 years. And so, you know, I felt, you know, that this was likely going to be a you know, several year kind of position, and that maybe likely I would end up having another opportunity someplace else. Although I didn't look forward to moving, I think that would be one of the harder things for one to do. And in retrospect, what I'm really pleased and happy about in my situation is that I was able to keep my family here in one place and have my kids grow up here and go through the school system and make friends. And, you know, I think all kids in some ways, and I know there are exceptions, of course, to different professions that are out there, but moving around a lot is not something I wanted my family to have to do. Sure. So
how important is just having that long-term institutional knowledge to your job today, as far as just being here for so long and knowing things? I know when I would talk to people and I'd be talking to them about some issue in town, and they would say, like, oh, back, you know, 20 years ago, we did this, this, and this, and I'd ask them another question about that, and they'd be like, well, I wasn't here, but Rick Reed, town manager, was. He can tell you about it. So how important is just, at this stage of the game, just having institutional knowledge of 30 years of on the job and just being around and remembering everything that happened? How important is that to your job, and how much easier does that make your job as opposed to if you were to start somewhere new where you wouldn't have that kind of knowledge or experience?
Well, it's certainly an asset that, you know, comes in handy. I mean, my staff says to me all the time, I happen to have a good memory, so, you know, I think I sort of have the reputation of being a person to go to find out what's happened in the past. So it does come in handy. I don't think it's critical in the sense that, you know, local government is always looking forward and doing today what it expects is going to be important for the future. So, but the past educates people a little bit about, you know, why things are the way they are or how they got to be this way. But it's not that it can't be changed. It's not that it can't be better. So I think, you know, it's helpful, but it's not critical to have all that past knowledge.
When we were first starting out, maybe the first few years on the job, is there like a distinct issue or challenge you had early on that you saw as like an early big deal during your career as town manager?
Well, for me, in Maryland, where I worked in local government, our city government did not have any unionized workforce. So when I came here, I was learning on the job how to negotiate labor contracts with the employees and you know, other issues related to having unions. And I was fortunate to have some good teachers, particularly a law firm, to help me learn the law and educate me about how to negotiate contracts and things like that. That was one area. I think on the first day on the job was interesting because there had been a controversial development at the time working its way through the permitting process. It was a development of condominiums called Huckins Farm. It's off of North Road, fully built now and been there for, you know, 20 or so more years since it's been completed. And the first day I got here was the first day the graders and bulldozers and things were showing up on the site to begin work. And there is a street there called Dudley Road, and it was being widened and was going to cause some trees to be removed. And there were some citizens, some of whom are actually still here today and would remember this, that were against the trees being cut down, and they chained themselves to the trees that
this
day.
This is the first day you were on the
yes. When I heard about it, the public works director actually was on vacation, Rich Warrington, and so his, I think, water and sewer superintendent, Ken Peterson, stopped by to see me in the office and told me that this was going on. And so I said, well, let's go out and take a look and see what's going on. I felt that it would be a mistake to stay in the office and not understand and know what's going on the site out there. So he gave me a ride out there, and I met the people, talked to them for a little bit. So
how has the town changed and evolved over time, from that first day 30 years ago to today? And what are like the biggest changes you see in the town?
Well, the population hasn't changed very much. Family sizes have gotten smaller, and so we have more housing units. So when you talk about growth in Bedford, there's more housing units, but not necessarily more people living here. I think overall the infrastructure in the town is in a much better condition than when we got here. When I got here, it was the town had been going through a series of difficult periods of time to assure itself that it had a water supply, permanent water supply. Some well fields had been developed and ended up having to be closed down through contamination issues and things. So we were buying water on an emergency basis from the MWRA through the town of Lexington. And it took a few years, so 4 or 5 years, but we eventually got through a environmental review and permitting process to actually join the MWRA, and were able to become permanent members and then significantly reduce the cost of the water from what we had been paying to a lesser cost rate. So that was a really important thing for the community. The building infrastructure over time has been upgraded for all of our facilities. We went from a small combined police and fire station to, at the time in the mid-90s, a new police station facility, renovated the fire station. And then later on, we replaced our public works facility and built a new facility. And then Town Center over here had a major addition put on it that was able to provide a much nicer senior center and expand offices for what was sort of crowded municipal offices. And Town Center became kind of like a human services kind of center for the town, essentially, and provided some space for community groups to rent and that kind of thing. And then, of course, all the schools, working with my colleagues that are in the school system, although I didn't have direct responsibility for any of those projects, we still had to work with them on the financial part of it, making sure that the town could afford and properly raise the money to pay for all of those projects. So I think overall the infrastructure is much better. I think when a community invests in its own infrastructure and ensures that it's in good shape, it helps to make it a more attractive community to live in. And what we've seen is, the overall real estate values for homes and things go up in the town, and it's become a very attractive place to be. That's challenging in some respects because it's hard for young people to afford to live here.
What has been the biggest challenge for you as a town administrator? It could be a particular issue, or it could just be the overall, something that's part of the overall aspect of the job. But over your 30 years here, what has been the most difficult issue for you, or the biggest challenge?
Well, the hours that you have to work, in a position of being a town manager, you are the leader of the staff, but you are the primary point of contact in some respects and interface with all of the elected officials and volunteers that serve on all the committees and boards. You're here in the daytime to lead the employees, and in the evenings you're here to listen and understand what it is that the policymakers would like to see and have done in their community. So, you have to be there for both of those, and that requires, sometimes on average 55 hours a week, maybe 60 hours a week. It's, of course, heavier in the period of time from about October through March when annual town meeting occurs. Summertime can be a little bit less strenuous, but that's the challenge. That's a big challenge. Listening to everyone, trying to, because we have a wide variety of people involved on town boards and committees, not everyone agrees. Trying to listen to everyone and try to find the things that they want to do and create common ground amongst everyone to make everyone feel that's participating, like they're being, that their contributions are being valued. It's just what a person in this position does. It's not anything particular to the town of Bedford that makes it more challenging. It's just the job of a town manager and a municipal leader that puts you in that kind of a position.
Speaking of that, What would you say is the difference between an administrator like you, who are hired by the Board of Selectmen to run the town, as opposed to someone with an elected position, such as a selectman or in other communities, a mayor, as far as the differences between being an effective administrator and being a populist and worrying about being elected for a position as opposed to being hired to do a job?
Right. Well, it's pretty clear to me, and hopefully all professional managers understand this, that more successful ones do, I think. It's basically, you know, you're here to implement the policies of the, in this case, in my case specifically, the elected officials, the selectmen of the town, and I don't make the policy. I mean, I have some discretion about implementing the policy, but in the end, what the selectmen want to see done is what we do. So on the other hand, the person in a position of a town manager, through their professional training and their experience, have a responsibility to recommend to the elected officials the right course of action on things, or what they think is the best course of action, but they don't make the decision. It's the elected officials' decision to make on those matters, and so once the decision is made, despite the fact that maybe you might have recommended something differently, you still have to embrace it and implement it. It's a clear differentiation between the policy makers and the administration and the implementation of the policies.
Was there ever a time when you considered leaving Bedford, or you had a job, you considered pursuing a job somewhere else and decided not to pursue it?
Not very often. I've had one or two calls over the years of people asking me if I was interested, but I, particularly as time went on, I said no. Earlier on, really early, I thought about an opportunity that came along in Maryland once, it didn't become a serious pursuit. So in my case, I've enjoyed living here. I like the house that I have, and my wife is a professional in the software industry, and it's not easy to uproot your family and have one of your spouse, you know, partners or whatever, leave a job. And so in my particular case, as long as I was happy here and I had, I was making a difference and, I was being treated well, which I have been over all the years by the selectmen, I did not have a real strong desire to leave, obviously, since I've been here 30 years. But sometimes things come along and maybe I could have earned a little bit more money someplace else. But in the end, money isn't everything. It's being happy and, having the right situation for your family.
Now, you live in Bedford, which not all town administrators and town managers do.
Right.
Are there strengths and weaknesses to living in the community?
Sure. Well, going back to the idea of my mentors, I mean, I both my hometown town manager lived in the town where I grew up in, and the city manager I worked for in Maryland lived in the city that we worked for, as I did also live in the city. I wasn't required to live in the city in Maryland. But what I realized in doing it was that there's a lot of work at night here, and or in any job like this, and it was better to not be too far away from home because you could get home and take care of your family, help at dinner time and that kind of thing, and see your kids. I did not want to be in a situation where I was tempted to just stay here through dinner time and not be home with my family. So that was one of the primary motivations. And then also was just thinking through when I first came here, the potential for resale of my house, I kind of felt that Bedford is strategically located close to Route 128 and Route 3. There are more jobs right around here. And if something did not work out, that I would have, you know, been better able to potentially sell our house if I had to go and get a new job someplace else, or if I wanted to get a new job someplace else. So instead of living, you know, 10 or 15 miles northwest, and where, you know, if you're in a downturn in an economic situation, you know, recession, whatever, the houses that are going to be closer to where all the jobs are probably going to be more valuable than the houses that are further out. And that was kind of my thinking. So those are the reasons why we chose to end up living here. And I've never regretted living here. I can say we've made friends here. All my friends have respected my position and not tried to impose on me because they knew what I've done. In fact, well, of course, you select your own friends too. So I selected friends that I knew wouldn't do that. And I think my neighbors also have been great neighbors. They all know what I do, but none of them come and knock on my door and, you know, bother me about town business. Yes. Or anything. So it's been a very enjoyable experience. There's a few others that have served as department heads who have lived here too, and we've said something like, there are not many towns where one would want to live and work at the same time, but Bedford is an exception. So it has been good for us in that respect.
What do you plan on doing in retirement? I know you spend 55, 60 hours a week on the job. You must have some plans to fill that time.
Well, I need to relax a little bit.
Exhale.
Yeah, exhale. My wife and I have made some travel plans already. So we're planning, when we're younger, to do a little bit more traveling.
Where are you guys going?
You're not going to put this in the newspaper, but we're going to Germany, Czech Republic, and Poland at the end of September, early October. And then in January through February, we're going to be in Tasmania, Australia, and New Zealand. So
cool.
Yep. I have two children, and my daughter is here in Massachusetts. My son is in Maryland, and they're both married. My son has two grandchildren are down there in Maryland. So I expect that we'll be traveling more frequently. You know, driving as opposed to flying to go visit them. And they're at an age where, you know, they're starting to grow up fast, 3 and 1 year old. And, you know, you want to appreciate that time period in young children's lives. So we'll be there, and I'll probably visit my mother on the Cape, who's still living. She'll be 93 next month, and so I probably will be down there a little bit more frequently than I have been able to. And I'm going to stay involved with the Middlesex 3 Coalition, serving on its executive committee, and the selectmen. I don't know if you were there at Monday night when I was talking with the selectman about continuing to serve as the town's representative on the Metropolitan Planning Organization, as a volunteer, not as a, you know, in a paid way. So those are some of the things. Read a little bit. I don't have time to read, and so I want to try to do more reading. I'd like to be outside. I'm probably going to try to exercise more and get in better physical shape. So
you talked about the MAPC and the serving in Middlesex 3. Is that kind of going to get like still your town government fix in, or your policy, or that kind of?
Yeah, probably. Fix in? I mean, I really like what we have done with the Middlesex 3 Coalition. You know, it's still a fairly young organization. It's only existed for about 7 years now, but I was there in the ground level of getting it organized, and I think it still has a lot of continual growth potential, so I want to stay involved in that. And, you know, I also see the linkage between economic development and transportation, and transportation is evolving all the time. I find that kind of fascinating, that whole area. And so the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, is a it's an arm of the MAPC. It's not, it isn't the MAPC, but it's the body that programs all of the federal and state transportation funding in Massachusetts for the Boston metropolitan region for 101 cities and towns. And so it's kind of interesting because you're learning about all of these. It includes transit funding for the MBTAs, commuter rail, and T, and it includes all the major highway projects. And our Middlesex Turnpike project was funded through that, and our Minuteman Bikeway extension is going to be funded through the MPO's process. So all of those things and my interest in economic development in the region are wanting me to sort of continue to keep involved with that a little bit.
You have your replacement course coming in beginning in, I believe, September, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, October 1st.
October 1st, so yeah. At the end of September. What kind of advice have you given her, and what would you say to her about managing Bedford and the Bedford people?
Well, I haven't actually met with her yet. I've talked to her very briefly, but I will be meeting with her in the near future. It's basically what I would say to anyone, and what one would say to any manager who's going into any community. It's not specific about Bedford. It's just that, you know, just be open-minded, listen to everyone, try to collect all the information that you can before, you know, making a decision. I don't know. I'm not going to I'll be available for her as much as she would like, but I'm not going to be overbearing. I'll be a resident just like everybody else in the community. If she would like my assistance, I'll be happy to help her a little bit. But on the other hand, I'm sure she'll be very capable of doing a good job without needing me to tell her what to do, and nor should I be telling her what to do. So I, you know, you know, I'll be here for as a resource. I've already told her that on the phone. I said I will be here as a resource for you, however much you would like to tap in it. But that's, you know, basically it.
And last question here is, mm-hmm. just what are you going to miss most about the job?
Well, my staff interact. I think we have a great team of people that have worked, and, you know, some of them have come and gone, you know, but I always miss people who have worked closely with me. I've valued their contributions, and, you know, the opportunity to work with those fellow professionals is, I think, something that I'll miss on a daily basis. You know, it's a great team of people that we've had.
All right.